Okay. Last 4 weeks, this is the fourth week, and we've been looking at First Peter, and I know I'm going very slow. At our in our home, my wife really loved to try different recipes, new recipe, and if I sit there and if I eat very slowly, taking my time, she knows that it is a keeper, it's a hit. And if I, I like to what I call savor the food if it tastes good. So I take my time. And if I eat fast and leave the table, then she know it's not so good, it's not so great. So that's out of the window, right? So, when it comes to the scriptures, I think if you want to really taste it, you got to really go slow, and see what the Word of God says. I know that there are times, when you're daily reading of the Bible, you have to cover more than that because otherwise you will never get through the scriptures in your lifetime. So, but in your study, in your personal study, it is good to take time and get into the Word of God. So we have last 3 weeks, we were looking at a portion that starts with the birth of a Christian, the growth of a Christian, privileges of a Christian, and responsibilities, and then an example of a Christian. And it starts at chapter 1, verse 23. And last week looked at we looked at verse 1, 2, 3 were the subject of growth. 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 2 were the subject of growth of a Christian is mentioned. And we looked at it. It said, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Indeed, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we looked at the fact that the Peter start that portion with a list of things that actually hinder our growth, actually stunt our growth. And if we want to grow in our Christian life, we have to put away certain things. Therefore, laying aside or putting off. And we looked at the same idea in different epistles. Paul is also mentioning there are things that we need to put off. We need to put off. We need to cast off. And then he says, put on this, put on this. So Peter is saying, Peter is listing four things here. Well, actually, five things here that we need to put off. So before we look at the privileges of a Christian, which I want to look at next, I want to start off by looking at verse 2 and 3 today. And it says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, we are born in the world, into this world dead on arrival. We may be alive biologically, but dead spiritually. So when you are born again, God has quickened our souls and created us in us a desire for the things of God. So the point Peter making here is that as infants have a strong desire for milk, we have to earn for the pure word of the Lord. We have a lot of young parents here, young parents with newborn babies, and in our assembly. And I know that some of the parents look very tired in the morning because they had been up several times in the night because somebody been asking for some milk in a not so very polite way, right? And they will not stop asking till they get it. So infants or babies have a very strong desire for the milk, and they are restless till they get their milk. And so Peter says here, the Christian who is born of God, born into the family of God, should have a strong desire, an intense hunger for the word of God. And I understand that the word that is used here is also used in Psalm 42:1, where it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, or yearn for the water brooks, and also in Psalm 119 and 174, where the psalmist is longing for the salvation of the Lord. So it says here that we ought to strongly desire the pure milk of the word. It means word of God is pure milk in the sense that it is without guile, it is without falsehood, it is unadulterated, pure, and genuine. And you will not grow. You cannot expect to grow as a Christian unless we are nurtured by the word of God. So when Peter talks about the birth of a Christian, he says it is by the word of God. You see that in verse 23 of the previous chapter, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And when he talks about the growth of a Christian, it is the same thing. It is through the word of God. Newborn, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the same truth of God that gave us birth is the same thing that nourishes us and help us grow. So if the word of God is water to wash us, it is also milk to build better bodies in Christ. You know, there are addictions in this world that can destroy us and tear us apart. All you have to do is to watch the news, and there are people who are addicted to drugs. There are people who are addicted to alcohol. And there are people who are addicted to food, addicted to shopping, you know, addicted to spending money. But these are all addictions that can have a serious negative impact on our lives. But there is one addiction that never hurts you, but actually make you strong in our Christian life, and that is the addiction to the word of God. Just like a baby's desire for milk is an evidence of a natural life, evidence of a growing life, a desire for the pure milk of the word of God is an evidence of growing in spiritual life. And if we are Christians, if we are believers, and if we still have no desire for the word of God, the reading of the word of God, as we, you know, examine ourselves, if it does not thrill you as you read it, it may be time to check to see what we need to put off in our life. It may be time to check on what in our life is causing the seed not to grow. What are the garbages that we are collecting that hinder the growth of our Christian life, that we will have an intense desire for the word of God? And in verse 3, it says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you are bound to do this. That's what Peter is saying. Peter says, if indeed you have been born of God's Spirit, he has put a taste in your mouth for the things of God. And if the Spirit has put a taste in your mouth for the things of God, a hunger for the pure milk of the word, we will get into it. We will get into the word of God. The fact that the God is gracious is not an excuse for us to walk as we like. The kindness of God is not an excuse for laziness in Christian life, but rather it should be the greatest incentive for us to long for the pure milk of the word of God. So we know that spiritual milk is not high on the world's list of dietary pleasures. But if you tasted it, if you have tasted of the Lord and know that he is good, as the psalmist said in Psalm 44, how can you taste of Christ and not want more? And that is why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So if we stop feeding on the word, we will stop growing in our life, in our Christian life. And if we stop enjoying and tasting the grace that we find in the Lord, it is definitely a sign that we are not growing. It is easy to find those who are feeding on the word and those who are not. Those who are feeding on the word are peacemakers. And others you might find, they are troublemakers. And anytime something troubling happens in our midst, the root cause of that is always that they are not growing in the word of God. You know, we have a manager that we work for. Everything, something goes wrong, we have to do a root cause analysis. And I'm sure some of you are very familiar with that. That means it is not that you fix what you see at that moment, but we have to figure out what really caused that. And you have to go back and back and back and find out where it started. And that is what they call a root cause analysis in business. But in our spiritual life, there may be time comes that we need to find out what is the cause of problems within the assembly. And that usually is a sign that that person is not really growing in the faith. So, you know, it is a human tendency to be drawn to a place where they serve good food, tasty food. Peter is saying that the best food for our spiritual men is served through the word of God. And once you taste it, you want more and more and more of it. So, there it is. It is what hinder the growth, a list of it, and then what accelerate the growth, and it is the word of God. So we will move on to verses 4 through 10, and that is where you see the privileges of a Christian. So we have the birth of a Christian, we have the growth of a Christian, and now Peter is dealing with the privileges of a Christian. You know, as I read through this portion, I can't help but to remember the Old Testament story of David and Mephibosheth. You know, remember that he was in the family of the enemy of David, and he was living in a place called Lodebar, and that is called a barren place. That's the meaning of that word. And he was lame on both his legs. And what happened to him? The king searched for him. Isn't it? He made inquiries about him, and he searched for him, and he found him, and he brought him into the palace. You know, he don't look much like a person that belongs in a palace where they have a king's mighty men and all those mighty valiant people and people that are getting together in king's palace, and there on the king's table is Mephibosheth. You know, he has brought into a privilege that he never ever expected. And as he look around in that palace and as he see where he was and where he is, what do you think is going through his mind? It is only by the mercy of the king that he is there. You know, and when I read through these portions, I remember the word of the Apostle Paul. He said, we were enemies of God. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were really lame. We couldn't help ourselves to get to God. But he came looking for us, and he searched for us. He found us. He brought us into the palace. And he is feeding us every day. And he has given us the food to eat. And every time I come here and as the word is shared, I feast on the word of God. And it tastes so good. And I hope that's the case with each one of you. And when we see this and we remember that, it is only by the grace and mercy of God that we are enjoying the benefit of our Christian life. It is in our King's palace. We are seated in Christ in the heavenly places. And what more can we want in our life, in our Christian life? So when I read through the privileges of a Christian, what God has brought us into, and it is something that we have to really sit down and really meditate, and we are really treading on holy grounds as we read through these portions. And it takes some time to read this, so I'm going to leave you to read this in your own time. But there are a couple of points that I want to make. This is a very familiar portion. And the Peter is present to hear the high calling of the people of God. Great privileges of the people of God. And so he is doing that so that he can later on following, he's going to instruct us based on the privileges that he has given to us. What is our responsibility? What can you do? What is your responsibility based on what he has done? So in this portion, I want to make a couple of very general observations. And that is, this portion is all about a chosen stone and a chosen people. A chosen stone and a chosen people. So we can condense it to a general way. And if we see it that way, then it will be easier for us to understand this portion, a long portion. A chosen stone, a chosen savior, and a chosen people, God's own people. And in verse 4, if you look at it, it says, coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but chosen of God. But chosen of God. And in verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. There it is, a chosen people, a chosen stone, a chosen savior, and a chosen people. So first four things he mentions about this chosen stone, and then he mentions four things about the chosen people. And in the, we see in 4, it is a stone that is living. It's a living stone. Then it says it is a stone that was rejected by men. Then it is a stone that was chosen by God. Then it is a stone that is very precious. Then we see four things about the chosen people, and this, we are a chosen generation. We are a holy and royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. And we are his own special people. The chosen stone is very precious. A stone that is very precious. The chosen people that are very precious, they are called his own special people. So if we can understand this portion as all about a chosen stone and a chosen savior and a chosen people, it will be easier as we go through this portion. But when we study this in detail, we see the privileges of a Christian. In verse 4, and I actually see 6 privileges that God has brought us into. I will just give you the outline. We won't have the time to go into each one. In verse 4, he has the privilege to come to him and to know the one who is rejected by man, but chosen of God. We have the privilege to come to him. In verse 5, he has the privilege to be part of the spiritual house they're built up of all believers in Christ. We are part of the house. We have the privilege to be part of that spiritual house. And in verse 5 again, we have the privilege to be part of a holy priesthood that function within the house. Privilege to be part of a holy priesthood. And in verse 5 again, he has the privilege to offer spiritual sacrifices in the spiritual temple. And in verse 9, he has the privilege to be part of a chosen generation, part of a royal priesthood, and part of a holy nation. And in verse 10, he has the privilege to be part of God's own possession, belonging to him, and are of very special value to him. So those are the, I'm sure if you read through this, you might separate this differently, but I outlined it as 6 privileges that God has brought us into his plan, the great plan that God is preparing. So just look at, it reminds me of the whole book of Hebrews, where the writer is, making the argument that the New Testament believers are in much better position than the Old Testament believers, and how the new is far superior to the old. So Peter's argument here also, when we read through this portion, Peter's mind is really going back to the people of God, the Jews. And they were the chosen people of God. They had the great temples that are mentioned in the Old Testament. They had the great priesthood. And they had the tabernacle and the temples. But he's telling us, these believers are a lot of the believers, and the Old Testament believers have a lot in common, a lot of resemblance. The children of Israel were the chosen people who were called out of the bondage of darkness of Egypt, and they were translated to a place where they enjoyed the light of freedom. If that was the case with the people of Israel, Peter is saying now, we are a chosen generation who are called out of the bondage of darkness and brought us into the marvelous light of his own Son. If people of Israel had great temples, and when we think about the temples of the Old Testament, it started with cornerstone and then built with individual stones, adding to it one after the other. And Peter says here that we have a temple that started with the cornerstone. And that cornerstone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's a living stone, and he's a precious stone, he's a chosen stone. And this temple is also building with one stone after the other. And the difference is, in this portion as we read through it, we see that these are not inanimate stones like the Old Testament temples, but these are stones, living stones. Each stone is individual believers. You know that in his first mention of the church, Jesus compared it to building the church. And he said, I will build my church. And believers are living stone in his building. Each time someone trusts in Christ, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and darkness and cemented by the grace of God into this building. We have this great privilege to be part of his church and habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, I say the Lord only had to speak to make the world. His word made the world and the stars. But in order to build a church, he actually had to give his own life. We are the product of not just the word of God, we are the product of the death of the Son of God himself. He cemented it with his own blood, and we are here this morning because he had done it. You know, in the Old Testament, when man was thrown out of the garden, and God has placed a flaming sword and a cherubim to guard the garden so that they cannot get into the tree of life. There was a flaming sword that turned every way. No one could enter into it anymore. You know, there's only one person that actually entered through that flaming sword. And that was our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he carried our sin as our representative. He went under the sword. And that fell on him. And we remember that this morning, that he was crushed. And he was ripped into pieces, because that punishment, that barrier that God has put there, that flaming sword that fell on the Son of God. And he took our sins, and he has paid the price. You know, in the book of Revelation, we see the tree of life. And he has 12 different kinds of fruits, and he says it was for the healing of the nations. So we have access to that tree again because our Lord Jesus Christ took that punishment, that sword that came down on him. So we have entered into the very presence of our God himself. So in this temple, we are entering into the presence of the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, where the Old Testament saints could not go. And this is the church he has built with his own precious blood. How do we take it? How seriously do we take it? And I shame myself sometimes. And I come here and have an attitude of very simple, you know, okay, I'm here. But when you actually meditate on these things, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us really make us think, isn't it? When I was preparing for this, I had to stop several times and I had to get on my knees. And I have to thank the Lord. And I hope that these studies have encouraged you to look more into this, the very precious Word of God. Next week, we have a visiting evangelist coming, so he will be taking the adult Bible study. So, like I said, I hope this has been an encouragement to you to look deeper into this, the Word of God, and into this, not just First Peter, but through the Word of God, and maybe we profited from it and also grow as we read and as we study this Word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this morning time that has brought us into thy very precious presence, and to see the one who was chosen of God, the stone that was precious, rejected by man, but precious and chosen of God. So we have this morning come to a place where we are the chosen of God. We are precious to him. And Father, we pray that they may help us to take this very seriously in our heart. We have an attitude of reverence when we come into the presence of God. And Father, that we may enjoy the beauty of the Word of God, that we may feast on thy word, that we may grow thereby, and we may take Peter's instructions for us, that the same word that give us birth through the Word of God, that we have given us the birth, the seed that was planted in our heart, that if we have to grow, that we may desire the pure milk of the Word. And Father, help us to do that in the days to come. And Father, we again pray for those grieving families in our midst, who are grieving because of the departure of their dear mothers, and pray and commit them unto thee for thy grace and thy comfort that is from above. We thank you again, Father, for this assembly and each and every believers, and pray that they may keep them safe in thy presence in the days to come, for the next week, as we go into our workplaces, as we go back to our homes, that we may keep thy word in our heart. hid thy word in our hearts, so that we may, Father, that we may resist the temptations of the devil and grow in thy word. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.